Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We pray, Almighty Father, our souls have been hurt by many adversities and evil thoughts. Our eyes and ears have been assaulted by the immoral behaviors of our neighbors, and either we have participated with them or we have failed to properly speak your word against their immoral behavior. Forgive us, Lord. Do not let our foolishness and weakness have its way with us. Show us how you have caused us to be reborn through water and the Spirit. Use the strength of your mighty word to transform us into your willing servants who confess our sins, so that we no longer fear what this world can do to our bodies more than we fear love and trust in you to provide everything we need for this world and especially for the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus revealed to Nicodemus the need Nicodemus had to be reborn, or born again, or if you prefer, born from above. The point is that Nicodemus needed a birth Nicodemus could not provide for himself. Nicodemus needed a birth no one from this world could provide. Nicodemus needed a birth only the one who has willingly descended from heaven provides. According to Jesus' own words, in order to enter the kingdom of God, in order to even begin to see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus needed to be born of both water and the Spirit. According to the recipe Jesus gives, the water and the Spirit are the two active ingredients which result in the new birth of which Jesus speaks. Nicodemus, when it comes to being born again, is the necessary but inactive ingredient. Nicodemus would be affected by the two active ingredients. Nicodemus will be someone who is reborn by water and the Spirit. The poetic metaphor Jesus uses of the wind coming and going where it wishes and not where Nicodemus commands it tells us it's not up to any sinner, let alone you or me or Nicodemus, to tell the Spirit of God where, when, and how he will work. Jesus tells us where, when, and how the Spirit of God works. Jesus tells Nicodemus, we speak and we bear witness. That is how the Spirit of God works. The Spirit of God works where and when Jesus and those who believe in him speak and where and when we bear witness of the good works that are accomplished in Jesus' name, especially the very good work of saving the world. Jesus says we speak of what we know. Jesus knows heavenly things as well as earthly things. Jesus knows just about everything. Jesus reveals the heavenly things by speaking what he knows. Jesus knows we must be reborn and we must continue to hear his commands and promises, and we must continue to be nourished by eating his body and drinking his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus teaches, he tends to use earthly metaphors, which he often calls parables, to hide heavenly wisdom and reality from those who continue to refuse to hear or see what he is saying and showing to those who have been reborn by water and the Spirit. So we, who have been reborn by water and the Spirit, can begin to see the kingdom of God which comes with its King. The kingdom of God comes with the one true King of heaven and earth. Jesus is the eternal Son of God who willingly descended from heaven. He was not thrown down from heaven like the rebellious angels we hear about in the 12th chapter of St. John's revelation of Jesus Christ. The Son of God submits to his Father's will. He humbled himself by coming down out of heaven and becoming the Son of Man. He submitted to Blessed Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his God-given earthly father. He became washed by John in the Jordan River to fulfill all righteousness, where the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. He did miracles. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, instituted the blessing of bread and wine in order to truly feed believers his body and blood, in order to deliver his promise of life everlasting. He washed his disciples' feet, saying, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Jesus was lifted up and died, rose from the dead, and before ascending back to his Father, Jesus told his disciples how to make new disciples in all nations, whether no matter their ethnicity or language. There is no doubt Jesus is the eternal Son of God who descended from heaven and has been born, the prophesied Son of Man to save the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word, the Son of God, has become the Son of Man. Upon his death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus commanded his disciples who still believe in him to make disciples of all nations. All nations includes Nicodemus, the Pharisee. All nations includes all men, women, and children. All nations includes you and your family and your friends and everyone you work with and everyone you know. There is absolutely no age limit or age of accountability. There is no language requirement. There is no requirement to be born of certain parents. Jesus places no limit on who he sends his disciples who still believe in him to make into his disciples, except for one. Jesus requires those disciples who still believe in him and who make disciples by baptizing to also teach all he has commanded. That's why when Lutheran congregations do what our Lord commands his disciples to do, we do everything we can to make sure the sinners we wash with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will also be taught all that our Lord has commanded. Or else, the unclean spirit who had possessed the sinner before she was washed by water and the Holy Spirit returns, finds its former dwelling without an occupant, swept and put in order, and then goes and gets seven other unclean spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and dwell there, so that the last state of that poor, neglected soul becomes worse than the first. That is why the enrollment of sponsors by Lutheran congregations includes a solemn vow made by each sponsor to confess the one true faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism, to pray for the brother or sister they sponsor, to support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, to encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper, and to be examples to their dear brother or sister in Christ of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. It's why so many Lutheran congregations also have Lutheran pastors, Lutheran parents, and Lutheran teachers teaching little Lutherans and their friends what Jesus has said and done for the salvation of the world. It's why each chief part in Luther's Small Catechism begins with the admonition, "As the head of the family should teach it," or them, "in a simple way to his household." Through the gift of Jesus' word, which tells Nicodemus that Nicodemus must be born again of water and the Spirit, not only would Nicodemus be born again of water and the Spirit, so will everyone who hears and is reborn to believe what Jesus told the woman at the well before his death and resurrection, and what Jesus told his disciples after his death and resurrection, just before he ascended into heaven. At the well, Jesus told the woman that he would give her water that will become in her a well of living water, springing up to eternal life after his death and resurrection. But before his ascension to his Father's right hand, Jesus told his disciples, who continued to follow him after his death and resurrection, to make more disciples of all nations, ethnicities, and languages, by washing them with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and by teaching all he has commanded. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter or even see the kingdom of God. When Jesus said that, he revealed the ancient connection between the Spirit of God and the waters, all waters of creation. His words put no limit on the waters he uses to give you the new birth that gets you into the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus placed no limit on the waters through which his gift of rebirth is given. He did not limit the waters to the waters of your mother's womb, or to the waters flowing from a particular rock in a desert, or to the waters of the Jordan River, or to any particular waters flowing in the land he had once called holy. He simply said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It looks so simple to us. Jesus speaking, Jesus giving a speech, Jesus words. But his seemingly simple words have an undying effect on the entire cosmos of creation. His simple words revealed an ancient and mysterious connection between the extraordinary Spirit of God and the ordinary waters of creation. Here's a quick refresher for your knowledge of God's order of creation. According to the text of Genesis chapter 1, there was no particular day of creation on which God created the waters. The careful reader of and listener to God's word will hear, see, and know that the waters of creation have existed since before God created the first day of time. While the earth was still formless and void and darkness was over the face of the deep, the waters of creation existed. The waters have existed since before God spoke light into existence, separated the light from the darkness, and started counting days, one evening and morning at a time. While the waters have existed since before the first day of time, the waters were not alone on the dark and formless earth. Over the face of the waters was moving the Spirit of God. The day Jesus stepped into the waters of the Jordan River in order to fulfill all righteousness with his son, with his cousin John, the Spirit of God was seen descending in the form of a dove and remaining upon Jesus. He who sent John to wash people with water told John, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God who has washed you with water and the Spirit. His baptism of you is his holy work. When he washed you with real water and his Holy Spirit. He washed you with the Holy Spirit by speaking his name over you. The name of the one true God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you were washed with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you were reborn of water and the Spirit. And you began to see the kingdom of God. You began to enter the kingdom of God in a way somewhat similar to the way you first began to enter this world. Just as you did not choose to get yourself born by your mother and father, neither did you choose to get yourself reborn by water and the Spirit. God first chose you before the foundation of this world. God first chose you before the devil even thought about tempting you to doubt Jesus and his word. The devil would have us take our eyes off of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He tries to convince us that this rebirth of water and the Spirit has nothing to do with the baptism Jesus instituted after his resurrection and just before he ascended to his Father's right hand. The devil spreads lies to convince you that your free will must have something to do with your salvation. If he convinces a sinner that her salvation depends on her choice, he'll get the sinner to start boasting in her decision to believe, and then he'll get her to trust only in the faith she decided to create in herself. He'll tempt her to start telling stories about how she turned herself to Jesus, how much she sacrificed for Jesus, and then how much she suffered and lost, and then he'll get her to start taking credit for getting herself saved and baptized. And then, when he's convinced her that only the faith she decided to create in herself can save her, he'll start pointing out all the sins she keeps committing without meaning to, and he'll tell her her decision to follow Jesus just wasn't sincere enough. That's the problem with trusting in one's own free will for one's salvation. Instead of trusting in Jesus, in his work on the cross, and in the promises he has attached to baptism and to the Lord's Supper. His promises are true. They never fail. The honest conscience will always begin to recognize that our free will fails to want the will of God to be done more than our own free will. Our free will is corrupt and has been since the day our mothers conceived us. Our free will has been so turned in on its own desires and passions, glory and self-righteousness, that it's ultimately impossible for our free will to choose God's will over its own. Free will always finds a selfish reason, focused on the desires of the flesh, to want what it wants, especially when you're just hedging your bets. The devil lies and tries to get us to think there's nothing wrong with the will with which we were born. "You're just born that way," he cries, as though there's no way we could be born with something wrong with ourselves. He lies again and tries to get us to think our free will, all by itself, would be able to choose to take up a cross and follow Jesus. He lies again and tries to get us to think the free will of our flesh would be able to sincerely choose the will of God over the desires and passions of our own flesh. But do not take the devil's bait. Listen to Jesus and pray as he teaches all who have been reborn to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." After telling Nicodemus, "You must be born again of water and the Spirit," Jesus sends his disciples to baptize and teach all he has commanded. Jesus did not put a limit on his command to baptize and teach all nations. Jesus did not say, "Baptize only the people who are old enough to choose to follow him all on their own." Jesus said, "Baptize all nations, ethnicities, and languages." The devil keeps trying to get us to take our faithful eyes off of Jesus. The devil keeps trying to fool us into putting our hope on things which will only disappoint us. But that is not how God's work of salvation works. You do not get yourself born or reborn. You do not rebirth yourself, and you did not get yourself baptized. By sending his believers to wash you with water and his Spirit, Jesus revealed the ancient connection between his Spirit and the waters. Where his disciples speak his word over the waters, his Spirit moves over them and causes sinners to be reborn with the faith that trusts in God's own Son. You are reborn to live a righteous life through the kind of faith that magnifies the mundane and the mighty works of God. The righteous life that keeps you righteous in the eyes of God begins with the words of Jesus, which tell you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born of his Father who art in heaven. His heavenly Father becomes your heavenly Father when you were reborn of water and the Spirit. At which point you began repenting and believing that the Father of Jesus sent his own Son to die for you and for all your sin, and then raised him from the dead, never to die again. That faith is the faith that is born in you through Jesus, who is the Word of God incarnate. That incarnate Word is spoken each time his faithful disciples take a sinner, like we're going to do later this morning, at any age, whether willingly or unwillingly, and says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That faith is born in you. It has been, or soon will be, born in Evanora Grace. Through Jesus' Word and the Spirit of God who remained on Jesus, who moves over the waters through that Word of God, and through the waters Jesus himself has said, cause you and Evanora Grace to be born from above. You must be born again is not a command to get yourself born again. It's a divine statement which describes the reality of what God has done to you by the waters and the Spirit of God. His Word has caused you to be reborn. Having been reborn, you are now capable of doing things you could never have done before. You are now capable of feeling the peace and the gratitude of someone who fears, loves, and trusts in God above all things. You're now capable of trusting the Lord to provide everything you need, especially when it comes to life in the world to come. You're now capable of living without all the things this world and its crushed and bound up prints try to get you to think you need more than you need the Word of God. You're now capable of living a life according to the Word and Spirit of God. You're now capable of showing gratitude to God and love for your neighbor like never before. God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the blessing. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.